This is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. The first lesson is recorded in Psalms 127, beginning with the first verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offering a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponent in court. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading, epistle reading, is from Colossians 3, selected verses. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, unless heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Once again, I greet you in the all-knowing name of Jesus Christ this morning. You know, if any of you have read Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain, to any extent, you'll know that he's not a real big fan of work. He's been quoted as saying, "I do not like work, even when somebody else does it." And he said, "Work is a necessary evil to be avoided." How many of you have ever had that thought about your work? I'm sure all of us have had one of those days, you know? But I think that most of us understand that what we do as far as a work or a job is beneficial, and work is necessary. I mean, after all, God created mankind to do work. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. In fact, there's another quote that's attributed to Mark Twain. It says, find a job you enjoy doing, and you will never have to work a day in your life. Now, there's a lot of insight into that statement. Because when we realize that there's a greater good being accomplished by what we're doing, it can bring us this sense of purpose, and therefore we can have this sense of fulfillment. It could even be something that we enjoy doing, and we get paid for it. How about that? I believe that that's how God wants all of us to consider and to view our work that we do, regardless of what it is, because it's God who gives us the skill and the abilities to be able to do it. That's the essence of our lessons today that were just read by Leaf here, our Holy Scripture. Now, this morning we're going to be installing our preschool teachers and staff. And they are a fine group of people. Of course, we have to know that they came here to Epiphany because, you know, they need to earn some money so that they can live, right? But they also came here because they have a special heart for the children. And they have a special heart for God. As our first lesson said in Psalm 127, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Most teachers know that children are precious, and they should be treated well, and they should be taught to the best of their ability. And so we'll not only be installing them this morning, we're going to be asking God for a special blessing on these teachers and this staff here. So that, because teaching, especially in this context, is a special calling from God. But you know what? With all of our jobs, no matter what we do, we need to understand what's contained in Holy Scripture about work. That way, we can minimize the negative attitudes that sometimes we have when it comes to our jobs, like Mark Twain expressed. Now, I don't know how you came to be in the job that you have. For me, it was, I'm sure like most people, you know, I needed to work, and that meant get a J-O-B, right? I had to do something so that I could earn some money, so that I could have a roof over my head and food to eat and clothes to wear. When you got a job, you probably didn't, at least at first, think about it as that you're working for God, did you? You know, I had a number of menial jobs when I started out. I started out digging ditches and cleaning airplanes and parking cars. And then I got a job with the state of Florida, and made some serious money, $6,000 a year. Now, you might not think that's a lot, but that's more than I'd ever seen. Well, as I rose through the ranks, you know, climbed that ladder, so to speak, I began to understand more and more how my work, my labor affected other people. maybe for the good, maybe for the bad, but they affected other people. My work wasn't just for me anymore. It wasn't just for the basics of my life anymore. And so I worked for the state for a number of years, and after a while, that job ended because I retired. Then God opened another opportunity for me through Pastor Cosberg here at Epiphany Lutheran Church. You know, people would ask me, well, how is the transition between the secular state government type thing and coming into sort of a ministerial position here at Epiphany? And I always used to say that, you know, I enjoy working for God now rather than people who think they are. You know? Because I'm very blessed to be here at Epiphany, what God and you all have called me to do. It's really a blessing to me to be able to come to work every day. And I give thanks to God for allowing me to be in this ministry here. Because He is the one who has given all of us the ability to be able to do what we do. Think about that, folks. It doesn't matter whether you're, you know, an airplane cleaner or a mechanic or an IT consultant or a teacher. If you take Scripture to heart in any of the work capacities that we do, and you recognize it, that it's God who has given you the intelligence, who has given you the ability, and has given you the opportunity to have the job that you have, you're going to be much happier. You know, Martin Luther, you know, as he always did, he brings it down to earth a little bit more than I've done. Martin Luther said that a farmer shoveling manure and a maid milking her cow pleases God just as much as a minister preaching or saying a prayer. Luther saw all of our work as serving our neighbor while we are serving our wonderful God. In our second lesson from Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3, he said, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Now, that's not something that we go about our work thinking about, is it? Usually. We tend to think, you know, it's we that applied for this job. It's we that got this job. It's we that, you know, studied and otherwise became qualified and have the ability to do this job that we're doing. We don't tend to think that it was God who gives us our intelligence and our ability, and then He provides us with the opportunity so that we can have the job that we have. You see, when we start thinking that way, we can see how Paul then could go on to say this. He said, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Now, when I started out, I didn't know that I was going to be here as your pastor today. I'm sure there's plenty of people that worked with me through the years that figured, no, he's never be a pastor. But, you know, I've always felt that if God wanted me to do something, He's going to open the door for me. He's going to make the way. Of course, I have to, you know, pray for His wisdom and His discernment to know the way is there, the door is open. You know, I would pray, "Lord, if you're calling me to this, I'm willing to put in the work to be qualified, but it's going to be you that has to make it happen." And that's exactly how I came to be the pastor here. It couldn't have happened any other way. How many of you have asked God to show you the way He wants you to go in your workplace? If you haven't, you should. Let me ask you, if you understand the concept that you are working for Jesus in whatever you do, rather than for some human boss, wouldn't that make you work better? Wouldn't that make you more productive? If you're working for God, wouldn't you want to give Him 100% of your effort? I mean, you know, how can you give only 50% of your effort to God and then expect Him to give you 100% of what He's willing to give you? As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9, he said, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously." If things are not going well in your work environment, maybe you should consider working for Jesus and give Him 100% of your effort. In other words, sow generously. Now, I'm not saying your work is going to be all peaches and cream and fun and games and no, you know, having no hardship at all. No, that's not what I'm saying. But don't you think it would be better if you looked forward to going to your work rather than dreading it each day? I'm sure everyone would want that. Kind of like Mark Twain said, find a job you enjoy doing and you will never work a day in your life. Now, I know you're thinking to yourself, well, the job I have is just not one of those jobs. Well, maybe with God's help it can be, or at least it can be a better one. You see, if we understand that we're working for Jesus here, working for Him, working to improve someone's life, you know, I really can't imagine a job where someone somewhere is not benefited by whatever it is that you do. If we recognize that we're improving someone's life or benefiting someone in their life, we can find joy because we're working for a purpose that transcends ourselves. Jesus said in our gospel lesson today from Matthew 5, He said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Folks, never forget that we have the opportunity to shine the light of Jesus wherever we go, especially in our work environment, because that's where we spend a significant amount of time, right? Even if you're not freely able to share Jesus with your coworkers, because I understand the separation of church and state and policies against, you know, talking about religion on a job, but at least you can show them Jesus. I mean, Jesus worked hard while He was on this earth. He showed His love to other people by serving other people. He put His needs ahead of everyone else, even up to the point of death. Jesus calls us to always be on the lookout for ways that we can help and we can serve other people. If you see a problem in your workplace, or if you see someone, coworker, who has dire needs, has is really in need, let's just not overlook it. Let's not just complain about it. Let's just not, you know, use it as fodder for gossip. No. You know, a Christ-centered worker looks for ways to be part of the solution of whatever problem there is. Let's not pass up the opportunity for us to do good things for other people, because in that way, we can build relationships. And Jesus is the greatest relationship builder of all time, right? And we can use his example to be caring for others, to be kind to others, to be honest with other people. In that way, we can build those relationships so that someday we may be able to share our testimony about Jesus with that other person, so that other person may be able to be saved, take Jesus into their hearts by the Holy Spirit and be saved, and we will see them in heaven one day. That's what it's all about. You know, we also want to be good stewards of what Jesus gives us to, you know, are the gifts that God gives us, even on the job. Stewardship doesn't just have to do with money, the money we make or the money we make for other people. No, it has to do with all of the gifts that God gives us. Do we waste time on the job? Time is a resource that God gives us as a gift. Do we waste our abilities? Do we waste our talents on frivolous things that are meaningless? Or do we show others, by the way, they're watching us all the time. Do we show others that we honor God's gifts by using them to glorify him? Do we show God that we're thankful for giving us the gifts that he's given us, by using them properly, using them the way he wants us to use them? You know, these are just a few of the ways that we can honor God and in the process find pleasure in our work environment. It doesn't matter what we do for a living. You know, you could even be retired, but you do something, don't you? When we find pleasure in our work, whatever it is that we do, we can go from, I have to go to work tomorrow, to I get to go to work tomorrow. In that way, we have more joy in our lives. We feel better about ourselves. We feel better about other people. And our frustration and dissatisfaction level goes down to a minimum. Now, you might counter me and say, well, that's all well and good for you to say, but I can't get any satisfaction out of my job. Maybe you need to change perspectives, not your job. The only way you can do that is by calling on God's Holy Spirit to have him come to you and show you the way that he wants you to go. But you sincerely have to ask him to do that. If you're open to him to coming, he will work with you. He will work in you to have you look at your job from different angles. He can challenge you. He can challenge you to make decisions that will further your knowledge, decisions that will gain you more experience, decisions that will increase your worth to whomever is employing you. You know, the one thing that I've always done in my life, when there's an opportunity that comes up that I can see it might advance my skills or my abilities or whatever, I've never backed away from it. Because I can tell you, I'm way ahead in my confidence level because of the things that God has allowed me to do when I originally thought I couldn't do them. But I had to ask God to make the way for me to be able to do it. I would again say to God, if you want me to do this, please give me the ability to accomplish it. Now, it may or may not be in his will for me to do. I'll find that out. Too many people, though, and you know who they are, you've seen them, too many people don't accomplish the things that they want to, and then they complain about it because they either don't trust God to help them or they don't even think about asking God to help them to begin with. As Paul said, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. The way to do that is to invite him to be a part of your work life too. If you do that, you'll increasingly find out what God's will is. You'll be more accountable to Him for your actions. And I predict that if you're sincere about it, your work life and your home life will become more fulfilling, will become more meaningful and more satisfying. And best of all, your relationship with God will grow stronger and deeper than you can even imagine. Wouldn't you like to look forward to going to work every day? Now, I'm not talking just pie in the sky here. It can happen if you're willing to let God take control. Because then you can say, I don't have to go to work. I get to. Amen? Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for giving us our intelligence, for giving us our skills and abilities. You give us all good things, but sometimes we, with our human heart, overlook our work opportunities. Let us always be mindful of your desire for us to work as we would work for you. Help us to give 100% of our time and our talent to you, and therefore be satisfied in our work setting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.